You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 130. This episode, Death and Gods.
To the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and today my esteemed panelists are Eric Cahill. Say hi.
Hey.
I got Colton. Say hey.
Hey.
And I also got the man with the most, Brandon. Brandon.
Yo.
Thank you very much for you guys to be here today on our grand discussion of all things Green Lantern. And Brandon, why don't you hit us with some news that, you know, just hit us, you know, this week?
Nope, no news.
Really? None?
Nothing of interest to me.
Huh. Nothing has happened ever, the end.
Oh, I thought there might have been some news. Well, if there isn't any, I guess we're going to move on.
Well, I guess this may count as news. During the shareholders meeting, in a very unimpressive way, Warner Brothers announced, I don't know, 10 DC movies they got planned.
Wait, what?
Okay, I literally have not been keeping up. Wait, what?
Yeah, so 2016, Batman versus Superman, Suicide Squad, Lego Ninjago movie. Anyway, we're not going to focus on Harry Potter right now. Batman versus Superman in 2016, you know about that. Suicide Squad. In 2016 as well. 2017, Wonder Woman. 2017 also has the Justice League movie part one. 2018, The Flash, starring Ezra Miller, who was, in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Wait, they're not gonna have The Flash be the guy on the TV show?
No.
So wait a second, you're telling me that there's gonna be a Flash movie at the same time as there gonna be a Flash TV show?
Two different universes, man.
Now, who is this Ezra Miller playing? He obviously has to be playing Jay Garrick, right?
Why in God's name would they do all this setup for a show which you build up for a universe and not use the actor?
Because the movies is a different beast, man.
Because the movie is in another 6 years, and, like, who the hell even knows if that's going to happen?
Yep. Flash could be canceled.
If it's
tomorrow.
Jay Garrick, I'll be fine.
Anyway, 2018 also sees Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones as Aquaman in his own movie.
Khal Drogo is going to be Aquaman?
Who's Khal Drogo?
Drogo.
No.
Khal Drogo, you fucking guys.
No. I'm going to call him the way I see fit.
I'm going to call him guy that played the not Klingon in Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, okay.
He was in Star... Anyway. 2019. Oh, wow, that's 5 years from now.
Oh, God, I'll be in my 30s.
Such a pointless discussion this is.
Shazam and Justice League Part 2.
The Reckoning?
So, 2020, 6 years from now, we'll get a Cyborg movie and a Green Lantern movie.
Cyborg? That's really going to happen.
Yeah, starring Ray Fisher, who plays the character in Batman vs. Superman, and presumably Justice League, and Justice League too.
So we're going to get a Green Lantern movie in 2020, is what DC is now admittedly telling us.
That's what they're planning.
This is their plan, this is what they're setting in stone, apparently.
The Alan Scott movie, I'm sure.
And of course, we have no actual identification as to who this Green Lantern is going to be, or whether or not it's going to be a continuation of the Green Lantern movie that came prior. Or if it's going to be a reboot.
They asked the guy, and he said it was going to be a reboot.
So we got kind of
that's kind of, again... You're talking about years from now. You're talking about them. This is basically like saying, oh, remember when Sony said they were going to do a Spider-Man movie every year, and then Sony's like, hey, we're not going to do any Spider-Man movies for the next couple of years. Like, the next day? It's because it's all speculation to drive the market. So, I mean, not to be like a cynical spoil sport, but like, it's like you read this, you're like, okay, that's nice. It's meaningless. You know, like, essentially they just laid out the exact same timeline that, like, fans lay out on message boards, you know, and it's just like, they're not really thinking clearly. Like, what if Aquaman fails? Are they going to bother with a Cyborg movie? Why are they doing Green Lantern movie so late? Is it because it's a straight reboot? Well, the guy from Badass Digest said that the plan was that Green Lantern, as a surprise, is not in Justice League, but shows up at the end of the Justice League movie to say, hey, go see Justice League 2 next year and stuff. I mean, like, this kind of stuff is like, you know, whatever. I mean, it's kind of good because they're doing the opposite of Marvel, where if Marvel just did the Avengers first and they did a bunch of movies, you know, it might not have made as much money, but it would have kickstarted their, like, franchises and stuff. And there is a certain amount of smart intelligence to kind of, like, doing everything front-loaded because Marvel's kind of already laid the groundwork for all these different superhero movies.
To be fair, that was their plan before Marvel. Back when George Happy Feet Miller was going to direct Justice League, it was going to be Justice League, and then, boom, spin-off. Because I remember back then, the next two movies after that wasn't going to be Batman and Superman. It was going to be Wonder Woman and The Flash.
This is just proves like the kind of long-term thing I was saying. That it's just all speculation and nonsense projection and stuff.
Right.
And they were working on that movie, but they were working on that movie in the eve of Marvel being like, we're going to start a universe. And they were like, well, let's just throw Justice League out there because we can't.
Granted.
Just another Batman.
Instead of saying they're just throwing stuff out there, it can be more say like they're just planning stuff out. It's planning, but there's no guarantee it'll happen.
They're speculating. I mean, is really what it is. And I think even the idea that initially a Man of Steel came out and they're like, we're going to do a bunch of Man of Steel movies. And then they were like, oh, you know what? Like, instead of doing a Man of Steel sequel, let's do a Man of Steel sequel where Batman's in it. Instead of making Batman the bad guy, let's make Batman and Superman in it together, but Lex Luthor's the bad guy. Okay, instead of making it about Batman versus Superman, Lex Luthor the bad guy, let's make it about Batman versus Superman, Lex Luthor the bad guy, and Wonder Woman's a supporting character, and Aquaman's probably in it, and maybe even The Flash shows up, and Cyborg's a supporting character. And you're like, and then let's actually call it Justice League.
Dawn of Justice.
So it's like you're not doing anything but saying I'm making a Justice League movie, so it's, I mean, for me, that's very, I hate that. That's one of the things I hate about the Marvel movies, when they lead into the next movie. I get that that's like the whole hook of the movies, but rarely is it even coherent. Like, can you find me a single Marvel movie where the teaser had anything to do with the next movie? I mean, how about the end of Thor, where we find out that Loki has been possessing Erik Selvig, and that's how he survived the fall into the pit of nothingness. And then when Avengers starts, he's never met Erik Selvig before, you know? Like, so just this kind of, like, random, and Hulk, Incredible Hulk ends with Iron Man saying, hey, General Ross, I'm going to help you destroy the Hulk. Then Avengers midway through, Tony Stark is like, I love Hulk more than anybody. I always love this guy. I have no intention of killing him whatsoever. You know, like, it's just that kind of, like, piss-poor planning. So essentially DC is writing a whole movie around that, you know? I mean, I don't know. As someone who's kind of, like, I would rather have seen the movies kind of stand by themselves, you know? And that's like, Marvel's whole announcement where Iron Man's going to be the bad guy in Captain America 3. It's cool, but, like, wouldn't it have been nice to have, like, three Captain America movies on a shelf that tell a complete story, you know? In case you – I know you're making 100 movies and every movie is essentially a cliffhanger to the next movie, but, like, wouldn't it be nice if you had a complete story like you kind of do if you watch Iron Man 1,
well,
2, and 3?
Let's look at it this way. We're not even getting a complete story from Batman or Superman. Like, we're going to get Man of Steel, what was that, last year?
Well, Batman's in there somewhere. Don't they have a Batman movie planned?
They said Batman and Superman standalone movies after 2012. After. How crazy is that? Like, you got Wonder Woman in 2017, that's 3 years from now. And you're telling me 3 years after that, we still won't get a sequel?
I'll tell you the truth though, money-wise, Man of Steel was successful, but not like...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't
a Marvel movie, you know? So if they put out a Man of Steel 2, you'd be seeing like Amazing Spider-Man 2 numbers. Like, it'd be pretty great.
I don't think so.
Well, you'd be seeing less... I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2 comparable to Amazing Spider-Man 1 numbers, where Amazing Spider-Man 2 made more money than like... Oh, a lot of other superhero movies, but it's a failure by Spider-Man standards. So Man of Steel 2 would be making, like, Captain America 1 money, you know, versus...
I don't think that's fair to say, because Spider-Man had a whole generation of people still, you know, fresh off the Sam Raimi movies, you know, to say, you know, I'm not quite ready for another Spider-Man movie. But I think Superman, I think Man of Steel, there was enough time in between that and Superman Returns so where you could do Man of Steel 2 and still say, okay, this is the fresh start, I'm going to go see that movie.
But you got to admit that Superman versus Batman will just sell better.
It'll sell fine, and I think that's the argument. Like, they could have done a Superman 2 with Brainiac or something, or Lex Luthor, and they're like, it's not going to have the same heat as a Dark Knight kind of a thing, you know, and it's not going to have the same heat as, you know, Batman Begins 2. It's not going to have the same heat as, let's just throw fucking Batman there already. So it seems kind of callous and money-grabbing, which is what they all are. It's just, for me, it's kind of a shame in terms of, like, it just kind of proves that, you know, you read the interview in Man of Steel, and they're like, oh, in part two, we have all these cool plans. And it's no way they were in the middle of making Man of Steel, and they were like, my cool plans for part two are to do a prequel for a Justice League movie and have Superman be a Superman character.
No, they were actually the exact opposite for
it. Yeah, so I mean, like, so it's hard for me to read stuff like this and then to be like, we're going to make a cyber, and this thing where it's like, oh, Marvel better step up its game because DC's going to have a Wonder Woman movie out. And, like, in 3 years, like, you know, so you're talking about, like, by the time they have a Wonder Woman movie out, Marvel will have released its next four mystery movies, you know? For all we know, they can just fast-track Black Widow or Captain Marvel.
But I don't know. I think they've got release dates for half the things. I mean, at least up to 2017. They got to have. I think because what? Next year is Ant-Man and what? Next year, Ant-Man and Avengers.
And the year after that is, I think.
Thor 3 and Cap 3?
I don't know if Thor 3 was announced yet, but I know Cap 3 was announced after that. So, you know, it's just.
Yeah, Captain America 3 is coming out during the exact same time as. The Batman Superman movie.
It was. Yes. Until they ran away. Right.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's like I said, it's just cynical. I try not to get too excited about it. It just kind of proves that DC wants its, you know, shareholders to think that it's got a plan for money because it's bleeding franchises and stuff. I think, as you said, you kind of skipped over the Harry Potter thing, but, like, let's not forget that they're taking a supplemental Harry Potter material that's barely 100 pages of big font written, you know, in a childish style and stretching it across three movies with a narrative, you know, like.
With what, though? That's a big difference, though. That's with the original writer
doing that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that I think the argument is that the whole thing, PowerPoint presentation, just proves that they're having trouble marketing. You know, they're having trouble with their movie business. That's all that proves to me, you know, like.
This was not a good summer for them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and the last couple of years haven't been great for them. And, like, yeah, Lego Movie was great, and that's why we're getting five Lego movies before the next Batman movie, you know? I mean,
there's literally a Lego Batman movie.
You know? Well, I haven't seen it either, but.
It was great.
I'm sure it was great. No, I just, you know, it's exciting, and then Frankie, before the show, was talking about, I wonder who the next Green Lantern's going to be, and it's kind of like they don't have any idea, and they're not going to have any idea for another 4 years. So
Doctor Strange, that's what I was trying to remember.
Oh, Doctor Strange, which they haven't officially announced yet. Now Spider-Man 2.
They have. It's got a release date.
Oh, I didn't know that was true. Oh, right, because they have the director. And that and Ant-Man are the real tests of the Marvel brand and stuff, because everybody could, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy was an unknown brand, but it's like, yeah, but it was marketed so well, and it was a Marvel movie, it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, there's no way that's going to make any money. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure nobody expected it to be as big a hit as it was, but I mean, of course it's going to make money, you know? And then if you say, oh, Paul Rudd movie about he shrinks, and it had like 50 directors, is that going to make any money? You're like, well, I don't know. You know, that's actually kind of a long shot, you know? And Doctor Strange, the reason they haven't done a Doctor Strange movie yet is because it's a hard character to do. I mean, the guy can't even hold his own comic book for more than a couple of years, you know? So, and all of a sudden he's going to have a movie, but I guess you could say the thing, Guardians.
Wonder Woman is tentatively scheduled for June 23rd, 2017. Marvel has a release date for an untitled movie on May 5th, 2017. You are absolutely right in thinking they could fast track a Black Widow movie and screw over DC so hard.
I'll probably base my money on that bet. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't assume. I mean, it's stupid. The 15 movies they have coming out, they can't stick a woman as the main character in one of them. I mean, it just.
And they're getting so much heat for it. You would think that they have to.
I mean, who can they put as a fair argument? But, I mean, like, you know, I don't understand, like. It's like, it's true. I mean, does Marvel really have any headlining female characters that are worth the whole movie? But I mean, yes, a Black Widow movie would be great. But, like, you know, you'd have. I'm like I said, I was talking about Marvel needs to stagger the budgets. I mean, they need to make a Black Widow movie for under $100 million. You
well,
know, like,
I think when you got Disney behind you, you're not really worried about that problem anymore, right?
Well, I just mean to say is if you do that, then you'll never get like Captain America movie money from a Black Widow movie, but you'll get a lot of money. So if you can maximize your, I mean, you can make that shit for like the price of a Bourne movie, which is not the same amount of money to, you know, cost of an Avengers movie, you know, and you know, what's she gonna crash another helicarrier? Like, you know, she's gonna karate fight people in a small dark room. I mean, you know, what do you need a billion dollars for that for?
I just don't know if, as much as I like the character Black Widow, I don't know if she's really, I don't think she can really, tangle with Wonder Woman in terms of sales.
Well, we haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, and we haven't seen.
It'd be crazy for you to be like, "Oh yeah, Star Lord's totally going to kick Superman's ass like 5 years ago," you know?
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Hey, 5-1-1. That's not really fair.
No, it's not. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know.
Well, I
mean, good advertising.
It was very good advertising during time. Anyway, let's table the discussion for the movies. Again, much like Eric said, there's a lot of speculation as to what's going on. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of future sight that may or may not pan out in the way that DC's pretty much laying it out. A lot of changes can occur. A lot of these movies can be altered. You know, in many ways, we could probably think that, you know, a Cyborg movie coming out in 2020 is great. It might end up being Cyborg teams up with Aquaman for all we know by the time 2020 happens, or, you know, or something of that nature. But aside from that, Brandon, that's the only bit of news we had, right?
That is definitely the biggest news we had, yeah.
Any small tidbits?
No, not really.
I also know that, you know, New York Comic Con passed not too long ago, so there was a lot of speculation, a lot of talk going on during
How about this? Speaking of movie news, Justice League Throne of Atlantis, the animated movie coming, I think it's January, it will feature Green Lantern, unlike the actual comic book story. So, there you go.
So seeing that, you know, we had no Aquaman during Justice League War, I guess we're gonna get more Green Lantern during that storyline that happened after what occurred during that time again? Oh yeah, Hal Jordan decided, hey, I'm gonna leave Earth, guys. Bye.
Didn't they bring Nathan Fillion back again?
He was definitely there for War, but I don't think he'll be doing.
No, Nathan Fillion wasn't the guy.
No, Nathan Fillion was not the Green Lantern for Justice League War.
It was a whole other guy.
Yeah, it was a different guy for that.
The guy from Weeds, right?
Weeds.
Wasn't the guy from Weeds the one? Was he Flash or was he Green Lantern?
I cannot remember.
But they recast everybody. I think they recast Superman too. It's not Alan Tudyk anymore.
Yeah, it was.
Alan Tudyk was Superman.
Justin
Kirk was Hal Jordan.
Jerry O'Connell.
From Justice League War. Justin Kirk from Weeds. You're right. Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's so
weird. Nobody else is. Sean Patrick Thomas, was he in? I don't think he was Cyborg.
Shamar Moore was Cyborg.
Did they seriously recast half these goddamn people? Sean Astin, I think, was Shazam last time.
Yes.
Sean Astin was Shazam last
time. Jason O'Mara has been Batman in all the movies so far.
Yes.
Rosario Dawson is Wonder Woman. Like, why did they recast everybody? Did they not get them back? Well, I didn't care, not that I, like, love the voice acting, but it was kind of, if you're trying to be like, oh, it's a unified universe, at least get friggin' half the cast back. That's infuriating.
Really? Are you really that angry?
I'm actually really annoyed about it, especially bring Nathan Fillion back as Green Lantern. I never cared for him as Green Lantern in the first place. I mean, like, especially, what do you want it to sound like a 50-year-old man again? Like, what the hell's the point of this? Why recast Batman? Whatever. It's fine. I didn't like Alan Tudyk, so I'm not hating him.
You should have been complaining about this in February, man.
Should have been complaining about this in February.
Well, I have no real problem with Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern. I actually enjoy his voice, so I'm
Nathan Fillion's back, so
yeah,
clap.
No,
I liked him. I liked him during Justice League Two Earths. Forget the entire title of that movie.
Why couldn't they bring back Maloney?
Crisis of Two Earths.
Where are you, Maloney?
Yes, Christopher Maloney was a great Green Lantern during First Flight, but
he was the only Green Lantern.
He was the only Green Lantern.
Now he's doing Man of Steel movies, so
Yeah, he got his ass blown face up.
Well, he died a hero.
He cost.
Come back, Maloney.
That's it for Nemos.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean, I like Tim Daly as Superman, but I, like, got over it, you know?
You'll get over this.
Fucking garbage.
Well, we'll see how Throne of Atlantis, you know, turns out during January, right? Right, Brandon? January release date?
January 27th.
Alright, cool.
Sam Witwer, the worst voice actor working today. Sam Witwer is a terrible actor. Like, it's like every scene he's at 15. Like, you need to stop it.
He's a bad guy.
He's an over actor. He's a bad actor, is what you meant to say. He's awful. He's
Listen, awful. Leave Doomsday alone from Smallville fame.
He's so bad. He's so bad. He's from, like, the Spit School of acting. Where, like, if you spit, it's more real. Even if it's, like, not a scene where spit is called for. Even if your character is well hydrated and has just been swallowing.
So it's the Pacino School of acting.
The who?
Pacino.
Yeah, somebody thinks so.
Alright. So that was the news that occurred. Again, Justice League Throne of Atlantis coming out in January, and the news that in 2020 we will be seeing the Green Lantern on the silver screen once again. Rebooted or not. But let's get into the review. In this past two weeks, the newest event for Green Lantern has come out called Godhead, where the Green Lanterns are against the new gods, or the new 52 new gods. So, this is the first time I've ever actually seen the Green Lantern universe actually clash against the new gods themselves, or, you know, the fourth world. You know, I've never really seen Orion and the Green Lanterns ever actually, you know, come into blows or, you know, stand next to each other if it wasn't for, I guess, Justice League or something like that. Or, you know, Kyle Rayner standing next to Orion during the, you know, the heydays of the Justice League back in the 90s.
Well, I mean, there was that, you know, there is that one Green Lantern story that's the Green Lantern of Apocalypse story.
Yes,
and,
yes, there
you
is
know,
that.
He's every once in a while, and stuff. I always thought it was kind of a waste that, like, the Green New Gods seem like probably the most important shit out in space, and the Green Lanterns kind of left them alone.
Yeah.
Well, the point is now in this new multiverse, they exist outside of the main universes.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. One.
Ever since the multiversity, and they finally showed during what San Diego Comic Con, they showed the actual multiverse map. And how everything is laid out in the new.
I have that image permanently on my internet browser tabs on hand.
Yeah, so we now know that how the worlds exist in a different vibrational frequency in the centered mass of unknown space, surrounded by the source wall. Outside the source wall is the domain of gods, you know, Olympians, new gods, hell, Hades, things like that. Outside of that space, you know, we have the monitors and things of that nature.
So, actually, the source wall is outside of everything.
I thought the source... No, wait.
It's the speed force that surrounds the universe.
Yes, you're right. The speed force surrounds the universe. It's the source wall that keeps all of that within its sphere.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder, though. How does one go to the source wall now in the universe, considering it exists outside of limbo and physical reality and beyond the monitors?
Well, I guess it's such an encompassing force of energy that it has to exist in some... Well, again, it's a source wall, but the wall surrounding the barrier is made up of dimensional creatures and creatures that apparently have hit that edge or that point in the universe, and that's what I guess makes the wall that surrounds the area.
I guess it's an actual physical representation.
Right. So, yeah, so since the map came out, we're getting more and more of this, of the multiverse being thrown into the new 52 continuity, and we're getting more and more, you know, bigger events coming out. Superman, you know, in recent issues of Superman, we finally see that the veil of the multiverse has been broken into multiverses finally came out, so we actually see that there's, you know, the multiple Earths. But yeah, for the first time, Green Lantern is now dealing with these notions that, you know, these grander notions that are coming out, and Godhead pretty much deals with the Green Lantern energy, or actually the fact that Kyle Rayner during the past storyline, when he had to refill the reservoir of the emotional spectrum, had to go through the source wall with Relic to refill it, had pierced through reality and came back into existence, which is impossible to do, supposedly, even though, cough, cough, Darkseid has done it multiple times. Pre-52 universe. We're now getting that because of this anomaly, this impossibility that Kyle Rayner has done thanks to his ability as a White Lantern, the High Father of the New Gods of New Genesis sees that he finally sees the life equation within his grasp. Now, of course, the life equation is the antithesis of the anti-life equation for Darkseid, which would apparently help High Father deal, you know, finally vanquish his foe or brother, as now we're known in the new 52 universe. Darkseid and High Father were once siblings. And he goes out of his way to bring Metron, bring all the new gods, Light Ray. We're going to see all the new gods again in the new 52 universe, because we haven't really been introduced to them since I guess Darkseid, who was like the only big thing that showed up in Orion in the Wonder Woman comic books.
I'm curious. Did Darkseid ever mention that he was a new god in the original?
Oh, what during the pre-52 universe?
Because Hal Jordan's he keeps hearing new god and he's like not reacting to him. Like, you should know this guy's kind of stomped your planet for a little bit.
Well, no, yeah. Well, if you in the new 52 universe, Darkseid never mentions himself as a new god or mentions himself as anything but, you know, the Lord of Apocalypse. And he's mentioned in the New Gods books as the Dark God or something like that. But they don't really quantify him as anything other than this giant alien force that showed up with parademons. They don't really, again, the Darkseid only showed up since the creation of the New 52 to be stomped out by Superman and defeated and turned back by this new Earth, which has apparently been said to have never been done before. A task even Highfather has not been able to accomplish. So
again, they're gods. They should kind of be above some guy in spandex.
Well, we'll get to that in a second with the new gods being introduced in the New 52 and the Green Lantern universe. So Highfather, seeing that he wants to get the emotional spectrum, he gets all seven lights. He'll be able to unify that into a white light to create the life equation. So he sends out his heralds to go and get a ring from each of the Lantern tribes. So he, you know, sends them all out to Green Lanterns, the Sapphires, the Indigos, all of them, and receives a ring. In managing to do so, he takes Mogo's ring, which causes the planet to go inert. He takes St. Walker's ring, who has now not been able to actually place the ring in his finger, because since he's lost his hope ever since the Blue Lanterns have been destroyed.
So now he's literally lost his hope. It's been taken.
Yeah, in the big metaphor of the story. They get a Red Lantern ring, which, you know, causes death for somebody. Sinestro, being told in a vision by Lysir Dark that he will be defeated by one of the heralds of the New Genesis, causes Arkillo to take his place so he doesn't lose his ring, because he now has to go to war with the new gods.
Right. So can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah.
So I read it as Dark or Drac said, all right, this is going to happen. And then moments later, it happens. And Sinestro's just like, Arkillo, I need you to stand in front of me so I don't die or something.
You're leader now. Your finger's off. I'm leader then.
You have to be the first ring that guy sees. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my life. And that's just messed up.
The master strategist decides, okay, I'm going to stand 2 feet away from him. Arkillo, you want to prove your worthiness? Well, this is what you got to do. Stand in this spot. And you know, Arkillo goes off, does what Arkillo does, thinks he's big and bad, tries to fight against the guy, and loses his fingers in the process.
Sinestro was a dick.
Sinestro was smart, but...
A smart dick.
Yeah. You know, you can expect nothing less from Space Hitler. And Lark Flees loses his ring. Because, you know, it's the only Orange Lantern ring to exist.
Because of Foul Dick Sinestro. That's his full name.
Anyway, so once in the possession of all the rings, what's Monk? Yeah, Monk, the Indigo Lantern.
Oh, yeah, that was a good scene, too.
Yeah. begs and pleads for his ring not to be taken because he tells him, hey, if you take this ring, I'm going to become a serial killer again, man. I don't want to become a serial killer. And the guy goes like, don't worry, man. I got this. Here's a sword. He's a serial killer again.
Sorry about this. We need that ring. Have fun.
here. Fair trade.
Fair, yeah, fair is fair, apparently. I took your ring. Here's a sword. Murder it to your heart content. Anyway, so as they get all the rings, High Father commissions the blacksmith of the gods to create a rod to house all the rings so be able to funnel all the seven spectrums to, again, create the life equation to,
back to your forge, Festus.
To defeat Darkseid. So they take the rod. They go to apparently the most vilest scum of the earth, you know, scum planet in the universe, which is, you know, in the Dagon system.
The Dagobah system.
Somebody should really keep track of this, because that's a terrible thing to say.
Yes. Anyway, so he goes to the shittiest world that anyone could possibly find, and unleash the life equation upon them because they feel that they will now elevate them in status of life and make them on par with the new gods, so they can, you know, they can be better for themselves.
But the universe of gods to fight Darkseid. That's a nice plan.
So, you know, they feel that if they can do this one thing for these people, that they would be, you know, in the right. But of course, the life equation or the light doesn't go as planned as they want. In fact, what they do is cause an involuntary evolutional leap for the planet and causes them to become raving beasts. They actually cause more damage than good, you know, than good.
And the most populous planet in the universe. 84.6 billion people.
So in doing so, High Father's like, oh man, I guess that didn't work the way I wanted. That's terrible.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault that I didn't test this out on something that's not living. Or, you know, or actually
one person.
You know, or people or anything, and decides to do the merciful thing and murder them all.
Should have tested it on, like, a squirrel or something.
No, that's even that is too far.
It evolves into Squirrel Girl.
So again, the High Father, seeing that he's done everything he could, the rings must be at fault, this is not the life equation, is until that the life equation resides in one particular human being called Kyle Rayner, who is the White Lantern. So we then get the second part of the story, which goes into Green Lantern number 35. Yeah, Green Lantern 35. The second part of Godhead, where we have the Green Lanterns again. Mogo's in dire need, and they're dying. The entire ecosystem is going crazy. Their systems are apparently now being hacked by Metron, and Hal Jordan's, you know, testament of being a true leader uses that to go find Metron, High Father, and Orion. And takes an entire battalion of Green Lanterns to go against to arrest them because, again, you know, they're in the wrong and they're space cops, so they have to do this. In doing so, they go up against a small battalion of New Genesis soldiers and lose horribly. It's not even a contest. The new gods destroy the Green Lanterns. They're like, the light energy is no match for their brute force or energy rods or the power of the source.
Is this ring the greatest weapon in the universe? Confirmed. Huh. He's just mildly amused.
So the greatest weapon in the universe is a toy in comparison to the new gods. And they are destroyed. They are freaking taken. They're taken back. Green Lanterns lose their lives. Rings are freaking dispatched. Arms are severed. And Hal Jordan is, you know, left alive with, like, two guys floating in space. And we've come to learn that apparently Metron didn't even care that they were able to track them down. He just finds them to be that much of a non-issue. So that's pretty much what occurs in Green Lantern, in Green Lantern 35. We just get the royal handling of the Green Lantern Corps by, like, five guys and Orion. It is a travesty. So that's pretty much what's going on. This is all leading up to, again, a six-part issue, miniseries with the Godhead.
Do you know the name of the lantern who lost his arm?
I'm trying to remember. He's actually an old school Lantern. He's been there since like one the beginning. He's the wolf looking one. I'm forgetting his name.
A travesty. It's what should have happened against the New Gods.
Why is it the only Green Lantern I can remember is called Lantern Porter?
They mentioned his sector, so I gotta go back and look and see what
is. If we're gonna go for limbs ripping off, bring back Risk. He still has two legs.
Risk has given enough in his short career as a hero.
It's like okay, I'm moving on. Life's good. I can use these legs. Superboy Prime breaks through the source wall. No.
Yeah, by the end of the issue, we also get the fact that apparently the Green Lanterns are not going to go, are more likely going to try to team up with the Sinestro Corps to combat, the New Gods, because they're going to have to try to bring all the Lanterns together to combat, a force as grand and as big as this.
And the lovely thing is, it's good guys butting heads again.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's good guys and those who are misguided in their attempts to be good guys.
Yeah, exactly. The good New Gods and the misguided Lanterns.
Hey, so Brandon, what do you think of the first two issues of Godhead?
The first issue was pretty good. There were some drastic changes in art going from Ethan Van Sciver's intro to, I think it was Goran Suzuka. One of Wonder Woman pages, which I appreciated a lot because he does some fill-in work on Wonder Woman, and that was a nice, form of chemistry between the New Gods there and the New Gods here showing up. So that was enjoyable. But I don't know, it got a little iffy. I don't remember who finished off the issue. I think it was Criss Cross, and that wasn't so good. But otherwise, I thought it was a great start, a really great start, especially with that first Godhead issue. I guess I felt a bit of a letdown with this issue of Green Lantern, and it felt like we just need to stack the odds against them some more and come to the conclusion that, hey, they do not stand a chance alone. But that's been like the case for the last couple events. Like, you have to team up with another Lantern source to get the job done, and it just seems like the Green Lanterns can't do it on their own, and unless it's something like personal, like the what was this last crossover?
I was about to say the War of Green Lanterns, but that's not it. What was the last crossover? The crossover between
this is embarrassing.
Yeah, the Durlins and
Durlins. right. So I don't know. It just felt like it was a letdown to see, not just seeing Hal get his butt kicked so easily, because literally they didn't even move. They just stuck their sticks out and that was it. But I don't know. It just felt like you take the wind out of a group of heroes so often, and it doesn't, like, I don't know. It was a long time ago now, but when you guys were complaining that Kyle Rayner kept getting his butt kicked under the pen of Tony Bedard, it's just like, he can't be a hero if every time he goes up against somebody, he gets his butt kicked. And it's like, that's how I feel about the Green Lantern Corps right now. Unless there's a Blue Lantern, unless there's a Star Sapphire, or in this case, a Sinestro Corps coming, I feel like they don't stand a chance.
By the way, the last event was called Uprising.
Uprising, right, of course. I just feel like it just doesn't make for the best of story anymore. Hopefully I'm wrong and Green Lanterns can actually prove their worth, and it won't just be another war of Green Lanterns where we see, different colors collide into, something awesome that wins the day. But I thought it was generally a good start, especially with that first issue. I think Van Jensen and Justin Jordan co-wrote that issue. But it was a good start. It was a very good start. I'm not a fan of Billy Tan's artwork. He's completely lost me. I think when he started out on the series, he had a few good splash pages every issue to get you to say, yeah, man, this guy's really good, but if only he had more time. I don't even think it's a time thing anymore. I think he's just not capable of drawing to that degree on every panel. So, unfortunately, Billy Tan probably is going to bring down every issue of Green Lantern for me. But yeah, like I said, a good three times now. It's a good start.
Carlton, what do you thought of the first two issues?
Brandon, I really enjoyed them, and I feel like this is a fitting start because they're facing gods, people. This isn't your run-of-the-mill criminal or even just like super monster. This is beings, you know, so far above them, it's not even funny. It's going to take all of them to even make a dent. I mean, it's going to take all of them just to reason with them, like just enough force to make them give pause for a moment of discussion, you know? And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the competition is going to be in the end, but right now it seems like they both want what's best for the universe or multiverse or however you wish to phrase it, but they just don't see eye to eye right now. They're not agreeing on method. They're not communicating, but I feel like they can work things out, and this could go an interesting direction if the Green Lanterns get some higher allies.
And Eric, I know you didn't read the two issues, but what do you thought of everybody else's thoughts on the first two?
It sounds pretty wild, I guess. I mean, you know, I think to Brandon's point, everybody kind of getting their butts kicked a bit. There's probably a lot of. I mean, it's the beginning of a crossover, and you want to kind of establish the big bads as big bads. But yeah, I guess the good guys keep a couple of wins in their columns. I mean, you guys are very interesting, but unfortunately, I guess you didn't give me enough context for the story to quite understand what's going on. I think my big problem with this crossover, having not started it yet, is the kind of insistence that DC, I guess, gave up when their whole New 52 plan didn't really work. So they're kind of like, I feel like there's 8 or 9 crossovers, like universe-wide crossovers being jammed down our throats and stuff. And I remember when I was reading Earth 2, I thought it was kind of cool. They implied that the one dark side was a dark side across all the universes, but then I realized all that meant was that everything that was happening in every book was something I had to read. You know, and that's I never really liked that. I mean, you publish 1,000 comics. You know, you don't publish 1,000 comics, everybody reads 1,000 comics. You publish 1,000 comics, so you get 1,000 readers. So, I don't know, I'm not really, you know.
You know, that whole thing with Earth 2, it just kind of makes it sad for Darkseid because his uncle kicked ass on Earth 2 for the most part. And what did Darkseid do?
Yeah, and then I guess it's kind of like, I appreciate it, again, when I said it, when it first was happening, because it kind of, when the first Just League storyline, Darkseid was in it, it was cool, but, you know, he got beat up. And then kind of get chased off. So there's a certain amount of like, well, then is he really the major villain he was made out to be? But, I mean, so it kind of deified him a bit again. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like I've never really liked what Dan DiDio has done with the New Gods. So I'm not really liking what he's doing now. You know, I mean, it's hard to, you know, as much as I like the writers on Green Lantern, as much as I like the idea of a Green Lantern New Gods storyline, you know, this is kind of one I checked out for in the beginning, and it's just, you know, I mean, DC is DC. I mean, you know, it's no matter how many times they reboot their universe, it's the same half dozen people running the company. The same
Are
way
you
they
still reading
it.
Wonder Woman, Eric?
No. I stopped a couple of years ago. The only ones I'm consistently reading, I mean, I read some Batman books and I read all the Supermans, everything else, and Green Arrows, but I haven't finished Lemire's run yet, so I'm a little bit behind. But I mean it. Go ahead.
Did you get a chance to get? Did you get up to where Azzarello brings in Orion for the Wonder Woman?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. But I mean, it's kind of like you kind of got. I don't know. Azzarello is kind of like his own thing. You know, it's hard to criticize it because it's kind of like it's sort of like that show American Horror Story. You know, like it's like irony doesn't exist, but everything is irony, kind of a thing. You know, so it's hard to really. I mean, everything is like firing in all cylinders. I don't know if it's awful or good. So I didn't really like it, him bringing him in, because I felt like that should have been a concept that DC should have introduced as an independent concept if they wanted to reintroduce it, you know? But, you know, like I said, if you're going to introduce it at all as a part of the kind of Green Lantern mythos and stuff. But, yeah, as you said, Green Lanterns have kind of just been dealing with these, like, huge threats nonstop, you know, because when Geoff Johns left, they were like, all right, no more crossovers. And then, like, that lasted about a month, and it's just been kind of nonstop crossovers since then.
Well, nonstop crossovers within itself, so.
Right, but it was always within itself, I mean.
Geoff Johns, like, took the realm, it was mostly nonstop crossovers within everything else that was going on in the Green Lantern, DC, so.
Right, eventually it was everybody was involved and stuff, but it's just, you know, it's like, I mean, I get it, too, it's kind of like, you know, oh my God, it's like that show, Arrow, the CW show. It's a great show, but it's like, unless the characters are miserable, there's really no plot. You know, like, there's never going to be a string of six episodes where it's like New Girl, where they get into some shenanigans and they're all smiling by the end of it. You know, it's like, if there's just so much misery and nonstop pain, then, you know, kind of like, you know, are you guys even a successful police force yet? I mean, that was kind of the thing when the new storyline started. It was fun because it was like, the backlash of the universe seems like, you guys really suck at this job you're doing. And Hal Jordan's like, yeah, let me fix that. But it's almost like he's been too busy fighting, like, Galactuses to get his, like, you know, foot in the door in terms of cleaning house.
Yeah, I think you'll like the last crossover, which I'm sure, frankly, will remind me what it was called. Uprising.
Yes, Uprising.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll like Uprising because it brought them down. It brought the core down to a more civilian level, to where they got to get their reaction from the civilians
the last two storylines with Uprising and the previous one before that, which had to deal with Relic and the fact that they had to know that they were draining the Force of the emotional spectrum, has been keeping the Green Lantern in a more palatable state. They haven't really done much like how Geoff Johns had made them, you know, pretty much religious figures around the universe. In the new storylines, everything pretty much stemmed from them being, okay, these are actual problems with the universe. You're causing early heat, like, you know, early, like, cold death of the universe because every time you use your rings. In Uprising, the fact that the Green Lanterns had to now prove their worth to the universe. Yeah, the universe that hates them because they are causing the early death of the universe has been something. You having to go up against, you know, the people they are trying to protect and the enemies that are apparently being supported by these people is something that, you know, it's more political stuff that's going on with the Green Lanterns. And the fact that they've gone from that to an even bigger force in a while is interesting. Just like they have to go up against the new gods themselves. And again, not being treated, even though the new gods are just a giant, bigger alien force, you know, that you have to fight, that isn't in the way that Geoff Johns has done, a grandiose gesture to religious symbolism. It's, you know, it's actually seems more grounded. It's still based on science as it's been.
Yeah, I still think it's like, it feels like a roller coaster to me. We got to Relic, who's literally the biggest thing they ever fought, and then we bring it back down to where the core is fighting Noel Ange, who's just a murderous thief with an army, a civilian army, and she happens to get a Star Sapphire ring, and then they got the Durlins, and they're just, you know, shape-shifting aliens, you know, like, there's nothing big about that. And then you go right back up to New Gods. It's literally a fluctuation of how big can we make this? Can we top the last thing? And that should be the basis of superhero comics.
Yeah, there's always how big you can top yourself.
How can you top the last story? Right.
Again, the Relic storyline was all about them being confronted with the fact that their ideal may be based on misinformation, and how can they strive to go against what is now true and still keep their convictions and their ideas and the fact that they're doing the right thing. You know, and Uprising is all about, listen, we have to do the right thing even in the face of our ideals being shattered. And the New Gods storyline may even stem further into that. So we can see how they'll be able to use their rings when they're being told that, you know, you are mastering a force that is impossible to master. Yeah, everything seems to be like a string of events that are all tied together. So I'm enjoying it for the most part. Again, Jensen and Justin are doing a fantastic job, in my opinion. And the artwork has always been great. You know, even with Tan in Green Lantern, I've gotten used to him a lot more than before. Green Lantern Corps still offer me great artwork. And yeah, we'll get to those two issues in the next episode. Ethan Mascari, you know, showing his hand in the first couple of issues of Godhead was great. Just seeing, you know, seeing the tapestry that he puts down in the four page flashes that he has.
The giant source wall looks
amazing. And then you have the two page flash, which, in a condensed form showing us, what High Father represents and what Darkseid represents. So it's fantastic. I love it.
A two-page splash in Green Lantern, what are the odds?
Well, it's been a while since we had giant splash pages. As you know, again, it's not the era of Geoff Johns and his splashes. And, you know, having Ivan Reis, like, pretty much litter all of his books with him. So.
I'm just teasing. I really enjoyed the art and the story, and it really got me excited. I haven't read a lot of Green Lantern lately because, you know, financial reasons, but finally made the plunge back in, and it feels good. It helps that two of my favorite franchises are crossing over. Green Lantern and New Gods.
Yeah. Again, the fourth world has seldom been ventured into since the New 52 has started up. The only small snippets we've got has been, again, Darkseid in the beginning, Orion and Wonder Woman, and we've had, I guess, we had that during the villain month when we had the Darkseid's origin story, which was explains how Darkseid came into power. It's newfound territory for the New 52, you know, going into the New God realm and their new interpretation of how the New Gods are seen now. Again, it's vastly different than how the original Fourth World was. New Genesis being not a golden city, a golden planet, you know, opposite to Apocalypse. Now it's just a shining city in the midst of a wasteland of a planet. So,
which was shocking to see, because, you know, from all my experience, the New Gods reading Jack Kirby's original work, they're just a little less Genesis-y than, you know.
Yes, it's much less Genesis than it once was. And High Father being more of a general rather than the knowledgeable and wise god that he was. Long gone is the robe-wearing, staff-wielding, pretty much god figure that once was, and hadn't been replaced with a stern father figure that he has become, and pretty much an iron-fisted general that commands an army to combat Darkseid. Yeah, and that's his goal. That's his entire point of being is to be that stopgap, to defeat Darkseid, not to bring enlightenment, and not to be a crowning beacon in the universe. It's more his entire state of being, his entire motivation is to defeat Darkseid. And in many ways, it's interesting to see how he parallels Darkseid in that fact that he's trying to get the life equation to combat Darkseid's anti-life equation. But in doing so, he would step on even the smallest of creatures and destroy them just to get this.
Right. That was, they turned people, I think it was to say, like 84.2 billion people on that planet, and all of them were abominations. It was like, all right, this is a mercy killing.
Yeah, like, he himself inflicted a pain on them like no other and decided, you know what? Sucks, but I gotta kill you now because it's the merciful thing to do. It's such a twisted ideology that makes you start thinking, like, how can you even call yourself a god? You know, how can you even call yourself, you know, a good person?
It's just weird going from what we saw of the old New Genesis, because New Genesis is basically a planet full of hippies besides Orion.
Yeah, again, created by Jack Kirby during the time, like during the exact same time when they were pretty much like the opposite of Cadmus back in the, you know, John Byrne series of Superman. They were just a bunch of floating space hippies that, you know, spread peace and love, and the only real rambunctious one of them was Orion. He was the dog of war in the midst of the paradise of what is New Genesis. And
I mean, you just could fight, of course, but, you know, they prefer the peaceful options.
Well, I think that could still be the case for most of New Genesis, but I think for what we saw here, in the halls of wherever High Father lives, it's definitely more like an army base. You get new recruits in there watching propaganda videos, which, you know, is probably true about Darkseid, but nonetheless, it's propaganda. And then you got, you know, you got his, what is it, 7 generals walking behind him, and as he walks to his own office, and he's towering over an army that's standing there. It's literally like an army base. And I think it's still possible for, you know, the rest of that planet to be a little more friendlier, to be sunshines, rainbows, and sunflowers. But I think at this point, we're only seeing what we need to see, and that needs to be High Father as a potentially vicious and dangerous person. So don't give up on New Genesis. I mean, they did say they're like a million feet above like skeletons and stuff like that. It's only so much happiness you can have if you look down and see dead bodies.
It's a very interesting origin change, because from what they're basically saying is, kind of given the idea of like that's their old planet, and that's what they put New Genesis on. I was kind of almost wondering, maybe I misread, but is it kind of like that was supposed to be the planet of the third world, the old Yods?
Yeah, that was the planet.
Right,
that planet that is destroyed is a planet where
that's where both Darkseid and Highfather were.
Yeah,
because
the thing about the new origin of the new gods is the fact that Highfather and Darkseid were not gods originally. They weren't born gods.
Right.
They took that power. Darkseid killed the old gods. He slew the old gods and took their power for himself. And Highfather was granted his power from the old Skyfather of the old gods.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, that's how
I've been out of the loop.
Yeah, this is all in the one shot during Villains Month of Darkseid's origin. This is how the new gods came to be.
It's quite a bit different from the old ways where their Ragnarok destroyed their planet and two new god planets came from that.
Yeah, so, you know, the Ragnarok that destroyed, you know, I guess Norse mythology created...
Basically Norse mythology. Basically it was Marvel's Thor.
Yeah, basically when Marvel's Thors, you know, they blow up in a great flaming Ragnarok, they will become the new gods of DC Comics. But
little Jack Kirby.
But that was the pre-existing universe. Now it's all, you know, Darkseid went out of his way to slay the old gods and devour the power for himself.
Well, he's never been a good guy. I mean,
he's
some other, so you know.
Yes, he was never a good guy. But of course, you know, destroying them apparently gives him a snappy new purple and gold something suit that he wears.
I mean, remember, he used his own uncle Steppenwolf to kill Highfather's wife, so he'd get angry and get this whole revenge thing going on that he wanted.
Yep, different story now. So, and as I said, Highfather and Darkseid are actually brothers.
Right.
That's the New 52 origin story.
I'm starting to wonder if they're going to go with the not original but slightly old, slightly newer version of the Infinity Man, where he was Darkseid's brother.
The Infinity Man, who is now part of the...
He's got his own comic book, right?
Yeah, he got his own comic book now, so we'll see how long that one lasts.
I mentioned what Lantern got his hand cut off and subsequently died against a New Guardian army.
Yeah, that Lantern's name was Barry Woot, or Watt. Wout.
Wout. I say Barir Wout.
Barir Wout.
Yeah, he's dead now.
He had quite the service record. He was there since Hal Jordan first got his ring during the end of the old days.
Wow.
Poor guy. So
that poor guy is dead now. He was one of the veterans, yeah. I forget whose creation he was back in the day. Yeah, well, this Green Lantern himself apparently was created by, like, Jeff Johns and even Matt Skiver back in
I think his name was probably created by Jeff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver, but I think he's been around a long time.
That Green Lantern has been around a very long time. But yeah, that's, He'll be missed. He'll be in the Green Lantern tombs along with Lantern Porter.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Watt and Lantern Porter. You two will be missed until the next storyline, which involves somebody apparently finding them in a cave somewhere. Apparently, they've never been dead. Or Barry comes back with a mechanical golden arm.
I was just gonna say, does he get to come back with his whole arm?
I bet he'll come back with a completely, arm made out of green energy or a golden one, to be different. I'm sure he'll bring back the baddest of the bad Green Lantern, the greatest of the great. Why am I forgetting his name? Crap. This is killing me. Buzz is messed up. Buzz was one of the greatest Green Lanterns of all time.
So many good Lanterns have died.
Yeah, many Lanterns have died.
It was rebooted, so who knows who's actually dead.
Well, somewhat rebooted.
You think they'd have learned their lesson the very first time they did a crisis and didn't reboot everything, that they should have rebooted everything? Because they didn't reboot Superman for a while, and that ended up becoming a pain in the ass later.
It's all very confusing.
Just 112% reboot everything. Day one, first issues, everything, no continuity.
Yeah, so the last note, I failed to remember his name. I still can't believe I forgot his name. The baddest of the bad, the greatest of the great, the guy who gave Guy Gardner apparently the run for his money. No, he did not.
But I would love to think.
Yeah, Jack T. Chance. I expect any day now by rewatch and Leonard Porter will come back, as Jack T. Chance becomes, I guess, the greatest villain of all time and, goes mano a mano against both Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner.
I'm still waiting for the real Lobo to come back. The real Lobo.
Well, we do have the newest Lobo issue, so.
Real!
Lobo number one, everybody, New 52.
Not some skinny little Ponce, but a real main man.
Oh, yeah? Do you remember how Lobo actually first was introduced in Green Lantern in comic book history?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he was a skinny little Ponce in a jacket.
No one cares about that lame guy. They only care about the 90s reboot.
That was what was hip during that time, the early 80s, going into the 90s.
So, and that's what was amazing about him. He was basically a parody of the 90s.
So Lobo was such an extreme steroid freak or something.
Yeah, Lobo eventually like pumped some iron,
But he found the magic number. He became so 90s, it was hilarious instead of terrible.
Anyway, that's pretty much it for this episode of Green Lantern. Again, hope you enjoyed our rants and our ravings. Hopefully you enjoyed what's going on in Green Lantern history right now. And check out Godhead. Again, we'll bring you up-to-date reviews as to what's going on in the next two issues of Godhead, Green Lantern Corps, and New Guardians. And we'll see what Kyle's getting up to. So again, till then, hopefully you'll stay tuned. Hope you'll come back. Hopefully you'll enjoy our talks. And stay green.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
Magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. We'll be right back.
Domino mask.
And he still keeps the, you know, the hood on. And like
he still keeps it on, and he still wears a grease mask underneath the eye thing.
No, the eye mask itself makes the grease mask. Remember that.
I hate that shit when they take it off and it's gone. I hate that shit.
Remember that one? I still remember when he's like, oh, he's going to take the mask off. He better have the fucking grease mask still on. He takes it off. Completely fine. Completely clean. It's like...
That even happens in the Batman, the Christopher Nolan movie. There's a part where he takes the mask off and he doesn't have the mascara on. And
it doesn't cover the whole eye.
It's infuriating. Just don't do it then. Like, that's why I really like Kick-Ass. They made a point to show him painting his eyeballs.
Alright, let's get this thing started. Brandon, you recording?
Yes, sir.
Did you start recording?
Yep.
Alright, cool. Alright, so we, are we just covering God Hand and the movie news today?
Yeah. How about we do the first two parts, or?
First two parts of God Hand?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You guys remember that Constantine movie with Keanu Reeves?
Nope. That was pretty...
I do remember that.
What?
Solid.
Wait, what?
That's like the only reason I want to see the NBC show, because I'm assuming it's just going to rip it off.
Did you not watch the bootleg?
No, I always meant to, but I'm not really that into the character that I tried to do.
Man.
I'm still very surprised, or not that surprised, but...
But you already know that they cut off the character.
Yeah, the character, the girl's already done. Now it's new girl. New girl's all important.
I don't like commercials because the guy looks like he's in cosplay and stuff. Like, you know, it's like, it doesn't look right.